you've got like a big issue in your life that God wants to deal with. The enemy knows it, and his intervention often isn't to try and argue against God there. It's to try and create a distraction over here so that you never focus on what's important over there. And I've seen the devil do it too many times. I want to minister to you this morning on spiritual warfare, but I want to take this time out as well. I've been seeking God this morning because something happened Friday night that I was going up to my room. I was seeking God for the message on Sunday. I was going up to my room, and you'll have heard this before if you're a harvester. There's an angel that looks like me who goes with my ministry. And as I walked in to my bedroom on Friday night, it's like I saw a flash picture of this angel actually in the house. And so I heard something by the inspiration of God. And the next thing, I got distracted. And those of you who are preachers, those of you who minister the word, you'll know what I mean. You can hear something, get distracted. You can drop the ball spiritually and not pick it up as a result, and like, oh gosh, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed your word, these are your people to feed, etc., etc. And this morning, just walking in the auditorium about 5 minutes before the service was due to kick off, I heard the Lord talk about this season. He said, tell the people, he said, that this is a seed time season into next year. Now, those of you who are gardeners, you'll know that this season, November through to March, is really, really important. Because if you want your garden to look good in March, you have to be working on it now in November. That's why supermarkets and garden centers and everything like that are full of daffodil bulbs. Because you plant daffodils in November, they spring up in March. And then Auntie Ruth brought that word concerning seed, and it was like I just knew it was a word in season, absolute word in season. And I know that if we can adhere to the word of the Lord, if we can hear the word of the Lord for this season now, that this is a season of seed time, the kind of harvest that you're going to be getting in March, April, May through the year is going to be a blessed one. The Lord spoke last week and he said that this is a season of fertility. And I know that. I know when I've heard God. And so you're going to see that fertile ground coming up. That's fertile business ground. For those of you believing for the fruit of the womb, get busy. As Prophet Nana would say, start firing now. Hallelujah. If you don't know what firing is, come to me later, I'll fire you myself, but not in that way. I'll sack you. Anyway. So that's the kind of season that we are in. That the Bible says, you see, that there is a time and a season for everything. It says that there is a time to gather stones and that there's a time to throw stones. There's a time to plant and to build up, and there's a time to tear down. And the difficulty is, if you're tearing down when it's a season for building up, then you're going to be in the wrong season. And the Lord put it this way to me. He said, imagine somebody going on holiday, sitting on the beach, and they are sitting under near a palm tree, and they've put out their towel, and they're just watching the waves come in. The weather's beautiful. And the next thing, for those of you who are movie fans, you hear the Valkyries by Wagner playing. Dan, dan, da, dan, 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 da, dan, 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 dan. And you see all these Huey helicopters suddenly appearing out in the midst. And the next thing, there's napalm flying, there's guns going off and bombs. That's the opening scene, for those of you who don't know movies, from the film called Apocalypse Now. Highly, highly recommended. But if you were sitting on that beach 5 minutes beforehand, you would have said to yourself, it is well. But you'd have been in the wrong season, because suddenly all hell breaks loose on that beach. And we've got to know what the times and the seasons are. The Bible says in the book of Chronicles, it says concerning the sons of Issachar, it says they were small in number. but they had strategic discerning in relation to the times and the seasons. And it's really, really important that we get some of that, how could I describe it, that kind of Issacharite spirit, that we get to know the times and the seasons. We get to spend time with God. I sometimes wonder what it's like to be God, where you've got something like, I don't know, in the region of 2.8, 3 billion Christians around the world. And you imagine what prayer time is like. You've got 3 billion Christians. Maybe what percentage of them would be moaning or whinging or asking for something that's not his will? Can you imagine how you'd go mad if you were God listening to all that kind of stuff? And I was thinking, you know, sometimes the best type of prayer is just to shut up and listen for the voice of God. Listen like the eagle wingtips. I don't know whether you know this about the eagle, but it's one of the most majestic, one of the most mysterious birds in creation, because there's no other birds like it in terms of the equipment that it's got. The eagle will sit on a clifftop, and the ends of its feathers, the very, very tips of its feathers, are so sensitive that it can discern the right kind of wind that can lift that bird way, way high, 20, 25, 30,000 feet, just by catching the right wind on the edge of its fingertips. And it's the gentlest of breezes. It's the smallest of voices in the realm of the spirit. And, you know, we have to develop sensitivity to that voice. We have to know God's voice from the fog. The amount of deception that is out there. And God warned us about this in 2019. He said, there's going to be a lot of deception out there. He said, don't take any of this 2020 vision stuff at all. There's going to be a lot of deception out there. He said, 2020 is going to be a year of pressing. And when I heard that, I knew that the fog of war would be very strong in this year. They talk about the fog of war, and they say that the first victim in any war, the first victim is the truth. They also say that a lie has gone halfway around the world before the truth has even put its trousers on. And so we've got to be so careful, so watchful concerning the voices that we hear, concerning the discernment of his voice. Really, really, really important that we hear his voice. Jesus said it this way. He said, my sheep know my voice. They follow my voice. The voice of another, they simply will not follow. And I've developed my spirit, I've developed my sensitivity personally to hear his voice through the fog and through all the hullabaloo, through the distraction. If you imagine how much distraction there is out there, it's insane, absolutely insane. Think of everything right now that is vying for your attention. Just take a moment and think right now. You could be thinking about the week ahead, the week behind, a few weeks ahead. What's coming next year? Oh, gosh, this year I've achieved nothing. Or this year I've achieved so much. Or blah, blah, blah. Family, friends, in-laws, outlaws, paying bills. What to do. That they always say that, you know, wealth isn't the answer to a cluttered mind. Because the more wealth you've got, the more cluttered your mind will become about what to do with it. And that is so, so right. So we've got to know what is the fog of war. I had a very interesting experience about a year and a half ago. I was speaking to one of the brothers in the church, and he was talking about some plans that he's got and everything like that to do with the future. And he was describing the plans to me, and he said, yeah, he said, and I have to make sure that everything is well back home. And just as he said those words, back home, the Spirit of God showed me a flash picture around this particular individual. And he said, tell him to be very careful about where he calls home. He said, because there are demonic entities that are trying to geolocate him right now. And it was to do with his former family, his generational home or whatever like that. And sometimes, you know, God will separate us from our generational background by taking us out geographically. When God said to Abraham, leave your country and your father's home, go to a land that I'm showing to you, you know, it wasn't because God was bored or he wanted to, like, do some tourism with Abraham. There was a power and a purpose behind what God was doing. And so we have to understand, when you look at Scripture and you see what God did with Abraham, because taking him out of his country and his father's home, the very idols that his grandfather worshipped, that killed some of the people early in his lineage, those very idols were effectively territorial powers. So for God to be able to do what he wanted to do with Abraham, had to take him out of that territory, separate him completely, bring him into a new territory, and establish altars in that new territory that would become points of contact with God, not only for him, but for his seed who would inhabit that land. Hallelujah. So that's what God did with our father Abraham. So if God's done that with our father Abraham, many times he'll do it with us. I've seen God separate people from their inheritance. I've seen him do it where they are due to inherit something and a relative cheats them out of that particular inheritance. And they'll fight it in the court, and the judge will be with that relative, or they'll sign affidavits, and all that judgment will be with that particular relative, and you actually feel robbed. But actually, in the realm of the spirit, chances are God's doing you a favor. Interesting, isn't it? And I remember the time, you see, God had to do something similar with my family lineage. My father was due to inherit a little house that was tiny, etc. And by some sort of, I don't know how it happened, some indiscretion or whatever, that house ended up going to relatives. And my dad was really upset about it and really just put out by the thing. And I remember going to God in prayer about the thing. And the Lord said, he said, for me to make you the kind of man that you were supposed to be, in the kind of location that you're supposed to be in, he said, I had to separate that legacy. And I said, wow. I said, okay, God, well, you're no man's debtor, that's that. We moved to this new house in the new place where we live, and there's a detached garage out the back that is exactly the same size as the little house that my father would have inherited if everything had gone the way that he wanted to. Hallelujah. So there is that principle that God sometimes, he will separate you from certain things. Doesn't mean it's lost and gone forever. It means that you're effectively detached from the territorial connections in the realm of the spirit. If there's anyone watching by TV and that's happened to you and relatives have done that, pray about what to do. Pray about how to handle it. Because God is no man's debtor, and if it's the Lord who separated it from you as a result, then there's no reason why you can't get that back in the days and the months, years, ages to come, etc. And that if it doesn't happen in your generation, it will happen in your children's generation, like it did with my father's house. Hallelujah. Say amen if you are watching and listening and understanding. Glory to God. Now, as I spoke to that brother, and I said, you need to be very careful where you call home. I said, God's just spoken to me. You need to be very careful about where you're calling home. I said, just pray about where you're calling home, please. as I said that thing, I saw like little smoke bombs. I don't know if you've seen those kind of pyrotechnic things that they do on stage with these musicians and dancers, etc. And they've got these little kind of almost Roman candles, but they're smoke bombs. And I saw these smoke bombs going off around this brother as I was talking. And I said to the Lord, I said, what is that? And he said, my word talks about the incense being the prayers of the saints. Do you remember that scripture? The Bible talks about it in Revelation, I think, chapter 8, and it talks about it in Revelation 5. It talks about the incense being the prayers of the saints. And I could see these little kind of incense bombs going off all around this particular brother. And the Lord said this to me. He said, incense. He said, the prayers of the saints is like incense in the realm of the spirit. And that incense is like tear gas to the demonic. That the incense that we create when we pray, and this is what I could see. I couldn't see the people around him praying as humans. I could just see them as incense candles. And I could see these things going off in the realm of the spirit. Now, if you've ever been in a room, I know my family has, because I've done it at home so many times. I got back from Israel and I was so buzzing. I went to the market in Ben Yehuda in Jerusalem and I bought all these different types of incense. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try these things out. And I lit the incense and mate, this stuff was strong. The smoke alarms went off. We had every window in the house open. I mean, this thing was blowing and puffing for like, I think half an hour, three quarters of an hour. We could hardly even see in the house. And it was just so, so weird. I've only burned it once since when they were all away out of the house. And but that's what it's like in the realm of the spirit. When we are standing, and particularly when we are surrounding somebody in prayer, that prayer is rising like incense to God. But in the second heavens, in the heavens where there's the battle between the angelic and the demonic, in the second heavens, that stuff is like tear gas to the enemy. Hallelujah. May the Lord release tear gas on your enemies in the realm of the spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Sometimes, you know, I don't think we know how powerful our prayers are. When the Spirit of God is leading our prayers, I really don't know how much we know concerning the power of our prayer. May God give us a revelation on how powerful our prayers are. You know, we do half nights, we do all nights, we do the furnace. We've got the daily, the nightly prayer going through on Zoom or WhatsApp or anything like that. You know, and that prayer is rising before God. But may God reveal it to us how powerful that thing is. If we could see things the way that God sees them, I think we would have a much, much easier time. It would be easier to believe in the things that God has got us doing for the greater glory of his name. Hallelujah to Jesus. In the book of Genesis, I just want to share with you from Genesis chapter 2, I think it is, and about the first verse. Let's have a look. Yeah. Genesis 2, verse 1. The Bible says this, thus the heavens and the... Are you enjoying this message, by the way? If you enjoy it, just like stick something in the chat or whatever. Let us know and, you know, you can write what you like. It's public domain. So, you know, when is this idiot finishing or whatever? I don't know. Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the earth the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works, which God had created and made. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made earth and heaven. Now, no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant in the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. but a mist. Now, this is verse 6, really, really important scripture. It says, but a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Now, some theologians, and really, I don't mind either way. I just want to pitch it out there because it matches and it concurs with what God showed me about the fog of war. Some theological experts believe that this is where the corruption in Adam originated. That the Bible says, the Lord caused no rain to fall upon the earth. And they say that as a result, that the mist that rose from the ground, it wasn't God's mist. But one thing I do know about mist, I don't know either way. We'll know when we get to heaven, all those kind of little bitty theological things that people love to argue about. But one thing that concurs in terms of my understanding of what God showed me with the incense rising, that the fog of war is like a mist often in the realm of the spirit. That sometimes when the enemy wants to create a deception or anything like that, that he'll make it very difficult to see. And I don't know whether you've ever tried to see through in a mist. When the mist rises, in the west of Ireland, where I spent the formative years of my Christianity, sometimes a mist would blow in off the Atlantic. And not only would you be soaked through, but you couldn't see more than 10 or 15 yards. And it would be just like that mist. Anyone in the house, you've been in a place like that and it's just been a misty day and you can't see far because it's just so thick, etc. And that could have been, I don't know. Personally, that could have been the fog of war. I really don't know. But in the very next verse, the Bible says, and then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. So this was the dust of the ground that God hadn't commanded rain to fall on, but a mist came up. And the next thing, God is forming this man, Adam, out of that ground that had been effectively moistened by the mist. Now, that's a mystery. It's a theological thing. Who knows? And personally, is nothing worth really writing books on or anything like that. But I find it interesting in terms of the deception that the devil creates out there by creating this mist. I've seen him do it too many times in the lives of people where there's certain things that God wants them to focus on. And here's how the devil does it, right? He will get some sort of thing here. There's a problem here. You've got like a big issue in your life that God wants to deal with. The enemy knows it, and his intervention often isn't to try and argue against God there. It's to try and create a distraction over here so that you never focus on what's important over there. And I've seen the devil do it too many times. So you've got this massive issue that you have to fix in your life or in your finances or in your physical body or, I don't know, in your thinking, in your understanding of the Word of God or your habits or anything like that. And all of a sudden, the devil seeing how close you are to getting that thing, understanding the level of breakthrough that is waiting for you on the other side, creates this almighty hullabaloo over there. So it's don't watch that, watch this. This is more important. This is where the noise is. This is where the emotional hullabaloo is. As a result, as a result, your attention, your efforts, your resources that should have been focused on God's will, God's plan, suddenly are lost in the fog of war, and you're focusing on something completely and utterly irrelevant to your life personally and to your salvation. And the Bible says, let each man work out his salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so many times we are trying to fix the problems of other people, the problems of the world, the problems of stuff that is completely and utterly irrelevant to you. And it's like all this kind of stuff as a result that God wants to fix, suddenly we lose sight, we lose touch, we lose contact, and we're focusing on something here that is irrelevant, but it's distracting enough to take your time, your resources, your efforts, your relationships. Boom. May God deliver us from such a deception in the mighty name of Jesus. I see it often in people's giving. In fact, if you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3, very, very common verse, verse number 1. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now you can imagine, somebody is bringing a sacrifice into the temple as their point of contact with God for a particular breakthrough, a particular issue, a particular whatever over here concerning something they're believing God for. They're going to sow something onto that altar of sacrifice, I don't know, for their children, for their grandchildren, for their children's education, or for their blessing or breakthrough in health or anything like that. And they're bringing that sacrifice to the Lord as a point of contact. And here comes the lame man. And suddenly their attention is divided between what God has shown them what they should do and the fact that this particular lame man has needs. And I've seen it in the lives of so many people, where there's a point of contact, there's a breakthrough to come, and they've been distracted. I remember speaking to a lady in the bookshop. This must have been nearly 10 years ago. And the Lord gave me a specific instruction for her, that she was believing God for a particular breakthrough, and God told me her part in the thing, and he told me my part in the thing. And he told me what to tell her, and I'm very coy, I'm very shy when it comes to telling people what to do in terms of offerings or sacrifice or seed or anything like that. I'm very sure because of what the Bible says concerning, like, let a person purpose in their heart what to give and all that kind of stuff, right? So I told her, I said, listen, this is what I hear God saying. He said, bring a seed. I didn't mention the amount. I didn't mention anything. I said, bring a seed and put it on the altar for this particular breakthrough, okay? And I said, God's instructed me what to do. Now, I hadn't told her what he had instructed me to do, but God told me, he said, put her name on a post-it note and put that post-it note to the side of your nightstand, the side of your bedside table, your nightstand, and stick it there. He said, and pray for her when you wake up and when you go to bed every night until that post-it note falls off the nightstand. That's what God told me to do. And so I did my part. Now, I don't know what happened because there was a distraction. She ended up going away. So I haven't got a clue. But there's been very, very few people that God has specifically instructed me in that particular direction in their lives, because I'm not intrusive. That's just not my MO. And I remember saying it to God, and this was the scripture that God brought to me when I was asking him, Lord, whatever happened was the story of Peter and John. And he said, how many people's point of contact were distracted by seeing the lame man in need? And instead of bringing me to my altar what was necessary for their breakthrough, they brought it and gave it to the lame man because of distraction. And I said to God, I said, Lord, may every lame man be removed from my life in the name of Jesus. May my sowing, may my attention, may my life be fully aligned with your purposes. May the fog of war never intervene. May the fog of war never distract. May I stay focused like a laser on what you've got for me. And I pray that's your prayer today, my brother and sister. I pray that the fog of war won't distract you. I pray that the mist that the enemy tries to create in your life won't hinder you or halt you. Can you imagine how distracting 2020 has been? And yet, God has kept us. I want us to purpose in our heart that coming into 2021, that we will be focused like a laser on God's purposes, God's plans, God's pursuits. Can I have a keyboard player right now? I want us to pray into this in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord has already told us that 2021 will be a year of pressing into the blessing. And as a result, I want us to make sure that we are pointed in that direction. So those of you at home, even if you're watching sitting down, I know Tottenham Pete, you said that you watch in your pajamas sometime. Please don't send us a photo of you in your jammies, but do send us a little video blessing so that we know you're alive still. Hallelujah. And anyone else watching as well, please do send in your pictures. But I want us to pray right now that God will give us that focus necessary. Sometimes it's difficult. Let me close by saying this. Sometimes it's very difficult to say no to relatives. It's a difficult thing to do when your relatives think that somehow you're living in splendor in London and you're broke as a joke. You're barely getting along. And God has told you what to do with your money, and they can sniff, some relatives can sniff money a mile off. I mean, you can get the thing and they know that evening. Oh, now's the time to call up Charlie and ask him to send money, etc., etc. Be free from that in Jesus' mighty name. You've got to be free to determine, allow the Holy Spirit to determine where you sow, what you sow, when you sow, how you sow. It's really, really important. It's Bible. The Bible says, let each man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Be free from any obligation like that. May your finances be surrounded by the Holy Spirit. May the fog of war not deceive you in those areas. I heard stories where people would give money that was sent from the UK, from America. In fact, it was Prophet Nana in Ghana who was saying it. And then the very people who received that money would go down to their local fetish priest, their witch, and use that money against the person in rituals. What kind of bent up nonsense is that? May God deliver us from that nonsense. May you be focused on the purposes of God. Every apron string, every soul tie, to your parents, every soul tie to your family that's not from God, we break it in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Who is my mother? Those who do the will of God. They are my brothers, my sisters, my mother, etc. May that be your portion and your testimony too. And may those apron strings be burned off by the fire of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we lift your word to you today. Let the fresh wind of your Holy Spirit blow every fog of war away from us, Lord God. Whatever has been in 2020 has been. And whatever will be because of your will, your plan, your program, your design in 2021, we declare it shall be in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we've made you Lord of our lives, Heavenly Father. And Lord God, we purpose in our heart to press into the blessing of this coming year. In this season of sowing, Heavenly Father, into next year, Lord God, let it be strong, let it be powerful, let it be vibrant, Lord God. We thank you for the incense, the prayers of the saints, which rises up, Lord God, around us, that affects the enemy like tear gas in the realm of the Spirit. Thank you for the prayers of the saints, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God. May every fog of war disappear, Lord God, and may the wind of your Spirit blow around our lives, Lord God. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Hallelujah.